Welcome to Flip the Script Wellness. I'm Heather Boggs, and today I want to talk about friendship. Studies show that friendship is such an important part of our health and well-being, and unfortunately, many Americans are suffering in that department. They either don't have as many friends as they need, or the friends that they have aren't reaching out enough, and they're still feeling lonely. So I looked at some research from several different sources, and it covered things from the health benefits of friendship to statistics about the types of friendships we have. And then I also put a survey up on my Instagram asking people I know a little bit about their friendships and what they're needing from their friendships. So as you all know, we've been in the midst of this global pandemic for the last 9+ months, and it is not looking like it's going to end in the near future, and it has made friendships even more challenging for lots of people. It is difficult when you're not able to hang out in person and have those fun experiences, share in dinners out, things like that, and as a result, it takes a different kind of effort to support and maintain those friendships. Interestingly enough, though, WebMD had a great infographic about the health benefits of friendship, and it says that people with friends recover more quickly from illness. So in this age of COVID, we actually can have an important role in helping ourselves and our friends heal by actively maintaining and engaging in our friendships. Additional health benefits of friendship include support from friends can lower heart disease risk. Social ties reduce stress, which lowers blood pressure. Getting together with friends helps fight depression. You'll sleep more soundly if you've got friends. And it is important to hang out with happy friends because the feeling is contagious. So here's the challenge. We need these friends to stay healthy, but we can't necessarily be with these friends. So what do? You know, I grew up, I'm a little older than some of the listeners, and I grew up a phone kid, and not in the way that kids are now with cell phones. Like, I talked on the phone for hours with my friends. It was literally a lifeline to my sanity and well-being. I would lie on my bed for hours chatting with friends, and it was such an important part of who I was and knowing who my people were and just feeling a sense of connectedness. And, you know, it kept away that feeling of isolation that I think many people are experiencing today. Which is kind of ironic because in the age of social media, we are connected to people more than ever, but it's often kind of, I don't know if one-dimensional is the right word for it, but it's more like there's a post and a response, but it's not as interactive and it's not spontaneous and it's not led in a way that promotes deeper interpersonal relationships. I think another challenge right now to the ways in which we're able to connect with our friends is that many people are on Zoom calls or FaceTime and just for their jobs right now, and or students that are online in a virtual classroom, they're tired of the screen time, and so they're less likely to use a platform like that to maintain their friendships. When I asked the survey question, do you wish your friends reached out more? 73% said yes. So that means not only would we benefit from our friends reaching out to us, it means we need to do a better job at reaching out to our friends. And despite that statistic, though, 92% said they tell their friends how important they are to them. So when I asked the question about what people's biggest challenges were in terms of friendship, finding the time to spend together was one of them, and obviously COVID is a big part of that. And for some, it was proximity and maintaining long-distance relationships. You know, I think that is something that affects a lot of people because some of our strongest and most significant friendships are often ones that we develop during childhood and early adulthood. And then life starts to take hold and adulting and careers and relationships and things like that. And we often find ourselves not near those people that we hold so dear. I know I was recently taping an upcoming podcast episode with my dear friend Karen, and the podcast is about 40 minutes, but we were on the phone for over 3 hours because we had penciled in time to do the podcast, And it allowed time for our friendship too, which, you know, is sad, but, you know, we needed to schedule it. And so maybe one of the biggest things we can do is make dates with our friends, even if it's just to chat for a little while. Another question that I asked was if you thought it was harder making friends the older you get. And about 76% said that it was. And I agree. I agree for a lot of reasons. When I look back at my life and the different stages and ages, there were circumstances that had built-in opportunities. For example, going to college. When you're a freshman at college, everyone is in the same boat as you and everybody is looking to create a new circle of friendships. And so people are willing to put themselves out there because they know they need to. And it is just an easier time, I think, to make friends. I'm struck by the circumstances of COVID and how it must be impacting first-year college students. I don't have any first-year college students in my family, but I have a sophomore and a junior. And for my sophomore, she is at a small, historically women's college, and they opted to have first-year and second-year students on campus for the fall semester, and juniors and seniors on campus for the second spring semester, so that everyone could have their own single room. And they've grouped them in blocks of 4 to 6 people, and that's who they're allowed to eat with, and that's who they share a bathroom with. But in general, it has been pretty isolating. Fortunately for her, she does have a couple close friends that are in her block and she can spend time with. And she's great at doing her own thing and focusing on school and etc. My son, that's a junior, is doing all of his classes online for the fall semester and will also be doing all of his classes online for the spring semester. But some of his friends and classmates are living in off-campus housing, apartments, and things like that. And so they're in these little pods that support those friendships, but he's here, and so he's a little bit out of the loop, and it's made feeling connected and having that normal friendship dynamic really challenging for him. And it's kind of a bummer, and it's hard as a parent to know that, you know, your kid's missing out on some friendship opportunities and, you know, just the effects of this whole time in general. He was supposed to be an RA this year, so he would have been, you know, busy with the other kids on his floor and also in a community of other RAs, which gives a built-in opportunity for new friendships to develop. Back in March when the COVID quarantine started, we were just the 7 of us here at home. And from March to the end of June, that was pretty much it in terms of people we saw. And I could tell that it was taking a real toll on my kids. And, you know, we had a long conversation as a family about how to manage COVID safety and meet their social needs. And we had decided that everyone could pick 2 people to be in their bubble. And, you know, that's been for us a manageable, for the most part, a manageable expectation. Although now, as COVID numbers are rising, it's getting a little bit more nerve-wracking to find that balance and to know what the right thing to do is, not only to protect us, but also to protect them and their families. And for my husband and I, we really didn't even expand our bubble, even to 2 people, for a couple reasons. One, we just wanted to keep the risk as low as possible. 2, we didn't want to, you know, potentially risk the health and safety of other adults we know, because we know what the anxiety can be for us in terms of what if I get sick and I have a hard time taking care of my family. We just didn't want to put others in that position. So I think for my husband and I, missed times with friends is actually been a real big bummer. You know, and it's something that I think we've had to work on. Honestly, the only saving grace is I'm married to my best friend. I don't know what I'd do without the friendship that I have with my husband. He's a great husband, great partner, great dad, all of those things, but he's also an awesome friend. And, you know, honestly, I'd be really not doing okay if I didn't have that depth of friendship with him. And speaking of my friendship with my husband, one of the best indicators in a successful marriage is the depth of friendship you have with your partner. So it is important if you are looking for a partner to really have that friendship connection as well. I think intimacy is important. Shared goals are important. Similar belief structures are important, but friendship is really high up there in terms of the lasting and longevity of a relationship. When it comes to finding friends, it seems as though opposites don't attract. According to a study done by Barna, a religious think tank that looks at cultural trends to help understand the diversity and dynamics of Americans, they find that people tend to be attracted in terms of friendship to people that are most like them. And some of their statistics were that it's true for religious beliefs. 62% have similar religious beliefs. 74% are of the same race. 56% are in the same income level. 63% in the same education level. 62% share the same political views. And 69% are in the same life stage. Interestingly enough, friendship with those that are different than yourself actually increases empathy and is beneficial to society as a whole. And Gen Z are actually the group most likely to have friends that are different from them. They do a better job at having a diverse friend group, and instead of feeling that they have to be like-minded with their peers, it helps them actually develop their sense of identity. Because they're okay with having different views and perspectives, but it helps reinforce what they know to be true about themselves. One Gen Zer who responded to my survey said that understanding the points of view of her friends was one of the biggest challenges. And I think that's because Gen Z is more likely to have friends with different points of view. And I think just a willingness to want to understand someone with a different perspective than you is really healthy and wonderful. One of the biggest challenges for me in terms of friendship is that I like deep relationships, not surfacey relationships. And I don't mean that in a judgmental sort of way. I just mean that I like relationships and friendships where I can talk about in-depth stuff, spirituality, politics, science, art. I want, for a vegetarian, it's strange to use this term, but I want the meat and potatoes of a friendship. I want to know about your thoughts, feelings, hopes, and dreams, and I want to be able to share my thoughts, feelings, hopes, and dreams. And I want to know that that depth of sharing is something that's safe because we have a friendship that's a commitment to one another, and it allows for authenticity and vulnerability. I would say that it is fair to say I'm an oversharer. And one of the things I found when I moved to the area I live in is that culturally, not a lot of oversharers. And where I grew up in Massachusetts, it was the kind of place where you could strike up a conversation with a stranger in the grocery store, or if you were at a playground and you were pushing your child on a swing next to someone else, you could easily have a healthy conversation. When I moved here, I found that I would approach strangers either, you know, at the community pool or on the playground, and it was really difficult to get the ball rolling. And it wasn't until my children started going to preschool that I started to connect with other parents and develop some friendships. And what I found was many of them had not grown up in our area either and were facing some of the same challenges. As my children have grown and changed and developed into their own sense of self and created their own social circles, some of those relationships that I had made and friendships I had made when they were little, some have stayed and some have kind of drifted away. And that's, I think, a normal part of the cycle of friendships. The challenge now is that I don't have that built-in means for connecting to new groups of people, and having started a new career path this year and being self-employed, I don't have any coworkers. So that eliminates the realm of work as a way to make new friends. However, I do remain hopeful that my friendship circle will grow over time because I have a willingness. I want to have meaningful friendships. I believe they are important to our overall health and well-being, and I look forward to the excitement and interest of getting to know people more than just in a casual, hi, how you doing kind of way. So I guess the overall takeaway is that friendships are important, and they're healthy, and they are an important part of our wellness. It can get harder as we age to make new and meaningful friendships. We value the friends we have. We need to do a better job at reaching out to them, and they need to do a better job at reaching out to us. But overall, friendships are rated pretty high in most people's lives. I would love your feedback about this topic, about friendship, or anything else that's on your mind. You can reach out to me on my website at flipthescriptwellness.com or on Instagram at flipthescriptwellness. I'd like to thank the musical group Slancha for the introduction music, and I hope you are blessed with wonderful friendships. Take care and be well.